Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, morning, church. Oh, that was brilliant, wasn't it? Morning, church. Ah, that's better. Good job. Well, today I want to talk to you on the subject, and I'm going to quickly move through some of the stuff I had earlier called Walking in the New. And I had a when I was about 9 or 10 years old, I received a Christmas present, and it was a Lego box, and it looked something like this one here. We should have a picture on the screen. A Lego box like that. I still have that's you know that's more than 40 years ago. I still have that Lego box at home, and they're vintage now. Like they're worth a bit of money. But I have one of those. But when I first received the gift, I know it sounds crazy. I probably wanted some sort of car or something, but I was—I got it for Christmas. Ungrateful me. I was none impressed with the gift because I didn't understand what Lego was and didn't have the concept of how good it actually was. And over time, I started to find out how good it actually was. But it was something that I'd received that was new that I really didn't understand early. Like, early on, when faxes came out. Does anyone remember what a fax is? So it was letter writing, and then it went to faxes, and then, of course, it's gone to email. And, for some, they probably may not have moved into fax really quickly, or they may not have moved into email. I believe there was a government agency that was still working with faxes last year or the year before that we heard about. The newspaper, the actual physical newspaper. Who still gets a physical newspaper here? How many people still get a physical? Yeah, not many now. And now you can just get it online. You know, sometimes when you buy new shoes, it's hard to break habits, but old shoes are more comfortable than new shoes. I had this old pair of like walking or hiking shoes, and they were just so comfortable, but they just got so tatty and bad that I was told I wasn't allowed to wear them out of the house anymore. Occasionally I snuck them out, and I still get in trouble for that. But I bought a new pair, and they're a lot tighter. They're good shoes, but they're a lot tighter and not quite as comfortable to sit in. And the last thing, of new things, I remember when I was doing our some renovation at home. Our house is about 50 or 60 years old, and it's got the old hardwood frames in it. And I started to pull some things apart, and then started to nail things together. And all the nails were going in halfway and then bending over. So it would have been silly of me if I hadn't used the nail gun that I had, because the nail gun made it a lot easier and a lot better. But if I continued just hammering in, I would have continued to be in trouble, and it would have taken five times as long. So sometimes we get new things, and I'm sure that there would be stories where you've received new things and you may not have ever engaged in the process of using them. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, this scripture reads, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person." Let me just read that again. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And if we read it in the Amplified version, it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as a saviour, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life." Today I want to briefly talk about three things out of this scripture. Firstly, grafting. Secondly, dealing with the old or the old things, and the work of the Holy Spirit. So grafting, as we see at the start of the scripture, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as a saviour. If we see that, it talks about grafting in this scripture. So as you start your new life, you are grafted in, immediately grafted in. So if I could just put that picture on the screen. Here is a graft. This is a graft of a branch. Now, let me just read this. Now, I'm no horticulturalist, so there's probably some people out there probably thinking you're just reading some stuff, and I actually am. But this just gives you a little bit of an understanding. Grafting provides the benefit of attaching different roots to trees to enable them to grow in soils where it normally can't grow. If you were to plant a tree where it shouldn't be planted, naturally it will have a shorter life. The new plant that grows from the, I think it's pronounced scion or scion, or bud, will be exactly like the plant it came from. So the graft will, like if you graft it in, it'll be like, it'll be what it was originally intended. These methods of plant reproduction are usually chosen because cuttings from the desired plant root, they root poorly or not at all. Also, these methods give the plant a certain characteristic of the rootstock. For example, hardiness, drought tolerance, or disease resistance. In general, a wound is created on one of the plants and the other is inserted into that wound so each plant's tissues can grow together. He was wounded for our transgressions. Christ was wounded so that we can live an eternal life. It's no longer your roots that nourish you. It's no longer your roots that uphold you. I've done a new thing. It's a new creation. The old has gone. It's no longer your roots that bring you life, but the superior grounding of your heavenly Father. You hereby give up life that is self-sustaining to be grafted into his everlasting life. And I just want to put that second picture up if we can. And in time, if you have a look, this is a tree that's been grafted for many years. It's hard to tell that there has even been a graft. And you might be sitting there today saying, well, you know, when you talk about those, the old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. I hear you talking about that. And I've heard this scripture before, but some things just are not changing. Some of the old things are not passed away to the point that they have been that way for so long. That's the way they will always be. Now, these things are often habits or bad habits or habit patterns that we may continue in from the old life. And you might be thinking, well, that was nice, Chris. It was good hearing that message, but now you're going to talk about bad habits in my life. This isn't going to be fun from here in. Well, let's just talk about some habits. Well, some bad habits are hard to break. So we break the habit. To break the habit, we break the habit pattern. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So does anyone here have bad habits? Without looking around, does anybody here have anyone live with them with bad habits? My wife's not here today, but she's probably at home with her hand raised high right now. Could be some of these. Could be leaving clothes on the floor. Does anyone have anyone leave clothes on the floor at home? Leave the dishes out. Could leave the toilet seat up. Some habits are hard to break, aren't they, Matt, Bert? Now I could have taken a few suggestions from the people in the office about what some of the bad habits are, and Matt was kind enough to give me some fodder for this morning. And so, Holly, Matt said, and you might be able to, this is what Matt said. Matt said, leaving tissues in your pockets when you put your clothes into the wash. Is that, you can attest to that, Holly. So, you know, not replacing, could be, and I'm not saying this is Matt, but not replacing the toilet roll, over snacking, telling white lies, bad habits, allowing screen time to control you, bad habits, some are hard to break, angry in the car all the time, constantly bringing things up from the past, having to one-up people all the time with the big story, blaming others, some habits are hard to break, watching inappropriate content, gossiping when you're with a certain group of people and you thought old things had passed away. You know, maybe as a parent, constantly ignoring the behaviour of a child and letting them get away with it. And lastly, believing the lies that the enemy feeds you. Some bad habits are hard to break. And the enemy says, that's the way it is. That's the way it will always be. Or that's just who you are. Well, I'm sorry, but my Bible doesn't read that way. It says, I'm a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So, how is it dealt with then? I want you to read this scripture with me, as in not with me, but follow this scripture, Ephesians 4, 20 to 24, and I've got the Message version. It says, but that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you as you are grafted into him. Now, just a handful of verses later, it says in Ephesians 5:1, so it follows that and it says, therefore, so it talks about that and then it says, therefore become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate as they imitate their father. So we copy Jesus. We copy because he is the visible likeness of the invisible God. So we imitate Jesus. When we imitate God, we set new patterns. And so as we imitate God in his patterns, the old patterns, they actually start to pass away. The old passes away. But how do I imitate God? It's not that easy. See, when Paul wrote these letters in Ephesians, had the people actually seen Jesus? Many of them wouldn't have. And they didn't have the New Testament there to show them. But he wrote these letters to them. So how do I impersonate Jesus? Watch them. And how do impersonators do it? How do impersonators? Like, I see some amazing impersonators, and I'm not doing any impersonations because I'm horrible at it. But I see impersonators do it. And what would they do? They'd watch them. They'd practice. They'd watch them. They'd watch every single aspect of someone as they impersonate them. See, we can hear stories about Jesus. We can read the Word. And we can imitate him. And that's fantastic. But there's people that I know that are here, and you've been Christians for many years, and you still deal with this stuff. And you say, well, I try and do it. I try and do the best I can, and I'm not knocking it. Please don't think I'm knocking it. But how does it effectively work the best? Remember, in 1 Corinthians 5:17, it said he's a new creature and he's reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural power which goes beyond just the mind of practicing how to be Jesus. They're great things, but this is supernatural. This is a spiritual rebirth that takes place that is supernatural, beyond our own abilities. If we try and do the Christian life under our own ability, we will not measure up. We will fall short every time. In John 14:26, this is Jesus speaking. But the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you some things. Does it say some things? He will teach you all things. Well, how come I don't know it already? It says he will teach you all things. And he will help you remember everything that I've told you. This is the disciples, and he's sending the helper to every single one of you. The other night I was thinking through this sermon before, and before I went to bed, I just left it in God's hand, and about 4:30 in the morning, I woke up, like I just woke right up, and I was just wide awake, and God gave me a picture, and it was very much for today, and he gave me so I hope you can understand this. And it was a picture of, you know, I do some work around the place and we go to different jobs. And I see different tradesmen who go out and I see them doing different work. And you might have two trades of the same working in the same place. And one is a heck of a lot better than the other. For some reason, one is a heck of a lot better than the other. And I thought, well, how did that happen? Well, he's done an apprenticeship. They've both done apprenticeships. And what's happened is they've finished their apprenticeship, and after 4 years or 3 years or whatever it is, they get a ticket that they're a tradesman. And so what's taken place is, you know, you talk about the ones that are better than the others, and there's three reasons why they might be better than the others. Three reasons. Firstly, you know, if the bad one was bad, he might have had a bad teacher. All right. Secondly, the teacher wasn't present a lot of the time. So the teacher just said, yeah, go out and do whatever you got to do. You know, you'll work it out. Or thirdly, the apprentice just didn't listen. Didn't listen to what the teacher said. And so we have this situation where we, when we are born into Christ, we don't have to work to get the ticket. We don't have to go through an apprenticeship because we immediately accept Christ. He says everybody is in Christ is a new creation. So it immediately happens. If you've accepted Christ, you are a new creation. And it says the old has passed away. Now some of it hangs on for a bit. And sometimes we just accept that it's going to keep hanging on. Well, today I don't want you to accept that. Because God has given us a teacher to take us through an apprenticeship. And we already have the ticket. We're already fully qualified because he says that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. But you know, there are times in our lives where we try and do it on our own. And we think we can just work it out ourselves and do it on our own. As Christians, without the Holy Spirit, it's all our effort. We must recognize the Holy Spirit is sent because we need him. We need him, and we can't do this life without the Holy Spirit. If Jesus couldn't do it, neither can you and I. And I reckon Jesus is the best qualification we can follow. I reckon Jesus showed us how to do it. The Passion version in Romans 8:26, and I want you to read this with me. It is just so beautifully put. It says this, "And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weaknesses. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up in us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with the emotional sighs too deep for words to express." And I want to read it in the Amplified as well. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time. He intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words." The Christian life goes against all human philosophy. It is totally different to any other thing on the planet. Absolutely, totally different. Because it's not a works-based thing. It's a spirit-based thing. It's the Holy Spirit working in us in ways that we don't understand. And you might say to me today, "Well, I don't understand the Holy Spirit." Well, when Pentecost came on that day in Acts, how many people do you think understood what was going on when they had thousands of people speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit came? Everyone's going, "This is nuts." And there is an element of the Holy Spirit working within our lives that is nuts, that doesn't make sense. But we've got to engage in the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to work and change our lives. You know, Scripture says that he's begun a good work in you and he's faithful to complete it. But if we don't believe that the Holy Spirit is with us, then we're just going to be doing it on our own. And we're going to be going, "How come that thing is just still there? And I've never been able to deal with it." Well, it's time today to allow the Holy Spirit to have more of an impact in your life. And so that's the key message that God has given me today, that we are grafted in, that the old things have passed away, and there's a process where, you know, we're already, you know, we don't have to work and earn our salvation. And God works with us, the Holy Spirit works with us as our trade boss, and shows us the way to do things. Works with us and shows us how to live life, how to deal with the habits, how to break the habit patterns. We can try and break it on our own, but it's just not going to be effective. And so this morning, I'm just wondering, I'm going to quickly pray, but I believe we need to pray for some people this morning. And so I know we haven't got a lot of time, and so I'm going to pray for this message, and then we're going to close the stream, guys, if we can, because I believe some people need to respond to this morning. And God's given me a word for some or a particular person here that I want to bring in a minute. And so let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that we would know and understand today more than we ever have before that we need your Holy Spirit, because you sent him to us to do life with us, as Dion shared, to commune with us in every aspect of the word. And Father, we pray these things. I pray that you would do a mighty work right now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. LMC here in the building, and those online out there. Good morning, and hasn't it been a wonderful time this morning of intimacy and closeness with God? My name is Dion McConnell, and I and my family have been part of the LMC family and the church here for 3.5 years, and loving being part of this great family. Are we all okay with getting the elements out? Great. So there are many aspects to our faith in God, many dimensions and aspects. And when Andy called me 6 weeks ago to ask me to share today, there's a word that came to my heart. And I think we've experienced a lot of that and a confirmation today through Ron's message and what Andy just shared now. And the word that came to my heart was, God was saying to me, just go deeper and in the understanding of this word communion. Do you know what communion is? What does it mean? What does to commune with mean? And so I've been exploring that for a long time, and I just wanted to share today. And as we look at that sign up there about freedom, with the end of restrictions, the end of being prohibited from doing things over the last months in Victoria here, around Australia, and actually all around the world, what we've been doing as soon as we heard of our freedom was, what were the two things? We said, let's catch up. Who can we go and see, and where can we go? Those are the two sort of things that came first to mind. And so I just wanted to share with you a little bit about this idea of catching up and what it means. And so there's some definitions that I had. So this word communion, by definition, saying the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings on a mental or spiritual level. And isn't that what we just experienced now in church when Ron was sharing about remembering those things that we've experienced with God and through God? It's this time of communion with God. And another one, another definition is to commune with, is to converse or to talk together with profound intensity and intimacy. And so that's just sharing thoughts and feelings, being intimate together. And in modern day terms, you know, we just call this a catch-up. Or the younger ones in the generation, you have a hangout together, right? So you hang out. But what do you do when you hang out? What do we do when we are together? Is that we have this time of incredible intimacy and closeness together. And another definition, just looking at intimacy, is being closely acquainted and having that close connection with somebody, being private and personal together. And if we look at scripture, there's a scripture which speaks And it's one that we use all the time. And we say this blessing. We say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and here's the word, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And so God was just saying to me, do we understand this word communion and to commune with, and his desire for us to just hang out together? And there's a word in that song that we sang now was about, then sings my soul. And our soul is our mind, it's our will, our emotions, all wrapped up in our spirit. And that's when we have this time with God, when we hang out with God, when we desire to have that intimacy with God, is then we submit and we yield our mind, our thoughts, our closeness, and we submit our will. And that's often the one that gets in the way, by the way. It's the will to share and be with God and to have that emotional time with him. And so in our communion with God, in this time of sharing, it should be a time where we seek for God to guide us, for him to show us the way and to navigate for us. And we put out things to God in our sharing and gain direction and guidance in and through our thoughts. And I thought to explain this, it's a little bit like comparing it to a GPS system. So I don't know about you, but just see if I can get this going here. Yeah. So question, who could not live without a GPS? How many of you? Put up your hands. Who could not live without a GPS in this day and age? Come on. Come on. Okay. Imagine a month with no GPS. Okay? A month. A week. To some of us, a day. You know, we use it to get to places that we need to go to. Sometimes you have an appointment at a doctor and you've never been there before. Maybe if it's part of your work, you've got to use it all the time to go to appointments. But also where we want to go. It's those things that are fun and where we might be wanting to go on holidays and the likes. But how does it work? It works with very detail, as Ron said earlier. You put in a detail of what you want. You have an input and you put in something and then you receive back guidance, direction. You actually get things to look out for, things to avoid along the way as well. So you have an input and you receive back. And I relate this to this time of communion with God and how, as we experienced this morning in church, is as we set aside time and we put out things to God and we say, God, I want to thank you for these things. I want to bless you. I want to rejoice with you over these things. Lord, I'm coming out. I'm sharing my feelings. I'm frustrated about these things. I'm angry. All of these things in intimacy and in closeness. This is a space which we call communion or communing with God, hanging out with God. And that's a very special place where God's saying, I will guide you. I'll show you what to avoid. I'll be with you in these times. And so I think there's another scripture that I had there was the one about searching for God. And it's from 1 Chronicles. It says, search for the Lord and for his strength and continually seek him. And so I just want to pray on this topic and say, Lord God, we come to you with our heart's desire to continue to seek you and to be in close communion and relationship with you. We desire you, God, to be our guide, our close friend and confidant. We trust you, Lord God, and we pray that we will honor and obey you as our Lord. Show us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. And as we receive and celebrate this communion with you today, by receiving the bread and the juice, which are representations of what Jesus showed and taught the disciples on the night before he died, we just want to honor you with our devotion, and we want to just hang out and commune with you at this time. Amen. So on the night when he was handed over, the night before Jesus was crucified, he got his friends around for a meal, he hung out with them, and he took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, just remember me." And so, Lord Jesus, as we take this bread, let it be a sign of all you did for us. Thank you for this bread of life. And after sharing the bread, Jesus took a cup of wine and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my blood, which is a promise, a covenant, which is poured out to all of you." And so as we take this cup, let it be a sign to all of us of who we are and how God loves us. How God wants to have that fellowship and that communion with us and that closeness. Let us drink. Let's just close and say, Jesus, we thank you that through your death and your resurrection, you have reconciled us and put us back in relationship so that we can have close communion with you. Give us strength through our days, we pray. Amen.